Davin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a sore ink spot. I am your host, Davin Rosebud. I am joined by Joe Curry and Pip Helix. Hello, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Everybody.
Another jam-packed show today. We got a brand new Witches Be Crazy featuring the Fairer Sex Losing Their Minds. We got a Drunks in the News featuring an unfortunate run-in with the police by a Squidward Tentacles of SpongeBob fame. We have the exclusive audio of that traffic stop of Squidward's running with the cops. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, you don't need TMZ when you got Davin's Den. That's all I'm saying. And we're going to answer a fan's cybersecurity question. So I came across some news articles, as I'm wont to do. And I feel like when we're picking a politician, we're asked to look at their attention to detail, their decision-making, their judgment. I feel like these are important skills for the president. Would you both agree on that?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So I think we have that right as a populace to expect good choices.
Right.
I mean, realizing that they're all human beings, or most of them. I don't know about Hillary, but most of them are. They're all human beings, and they can make mistakes. But I feel like when you get to this stage of the game, when you're inside of a year, right, and you're in campaign mode, you should be peaking. Your choices should be at their best. Would we agree with that? Because you're trying to woo a populace.
Yes.
Yeah, this is where it's important.
All right. This is we're not talking about something you did like 10 years ago or Bill Clinton where I smoked but I didn't inhale.
No, that's some little misstep.
Right,
you're
right.
Talking about big.
Or W with the cocaine and all that nonsense.
Yeah,
whatever. It would have improved his performance, I say. but what do I know? It couldn't have hurt.
That's true.
But we're talking about the lead up. So I thought a couple of Republican candidates the past week, my opinion was they might want a do-over on some of these decisions. Now, your mileage may vary. I don't know. But this, when I heard these stories, I'm like, ooh, what were they thinking? So the first one involves Carly Fiorina. You remember her? Probably not. She's somewhat. Is she irrelevant at this point? Does she matter?
I don't really think so, but...
You don't think she matters? Or you don't...
I don't like her. I don't really think that she's matters.
Okay. But, well, she's still a candidate.
Yeah, but every time the debate comes up, she's like at the kiddie table.
No, that was the last time. Yeah. The last time. All right. So Carly was on a campaign stop at the Greater Des Moines Botanical Garden. We're all familiar with it.
Sure. Know it, love it.
It's a destination.
It is. It's a destination spot. Absolutely. That's where I vacation.
I like botanical gardens.
And I like the one in Des Moines. You can't argue with that one.
No.
Now, preschoolers were on a field trip there. So without permission of the parents, Carly decided to use these children's, and I'm going to say the word props, as props in her Right to Life forum. Now, you remember Carly was the one who's been talking about Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Now, of course, and she's like, the video, I saw a video. I don't know if Carly knew this. She probably didn't. But the people that made that video, they're being indicted now. And Planned Parenthood was cleared. But hey, whoopsie. Details, facts. Who cares?
Immaterial.
Absolutely immaterial. Absolutely. So she's giving this Right to Life forum, complete with pictures of fetuses or feti.
I don't know. Never heard feti.
Complete with pictures of feti.
I think it's fetuses.
Fetuses?
I've never heard feti.
Right. So they're in the backdrop. So according to the Guardian, Fiorina directed 15 children to the stage, where she instructed them to sit quietly in front of a banner of a fetus while she spoke about Planned Parenthood, wait for it, harvesting organs.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm guessing that's not the type of harvesting they thought they would be seeing at the Botanical Gardens.
No.
Well, the kids went there to see plants, said Chris Beck, a father of one of the children, to the Guardian. She ambushed my son's field trip. In response to a number of questions from a news outlet, the spokesperson for Fiorina's campaign said, quote, "We were happy that these children chose to come to Carly's event with their adult supervisor." Now, immediately when you hear this, I go, oh, the onion.
I did, too.
They're at it again. But no. This is real. So, is this a politician seizing an opportunity to make her point, or does this call into question her judgment?
Joe.
Calls into question the judgment of who put it together. Was it her idea to put it together?
Well, she was in charge. Yeah, I mean, the parents of the kids did not know.
Right.
They didn't know that their kids were going to be props.
Yeah. Obviously, it was a poor taste in judgment. I mean, why would you bring kids into something like that?
Well, you know what? Because I feel four-year-olds can relate to fetuses because it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, but the right. but you want to know something? That you got to be like the devil's advocate in this.
Oh, please do tell, devil.
Okay. Not that I agree. I don't agree with this. I'm just explaining the thought behind the people, the pro anti-abortion people, the really hardcore ones, where they'll go to any length and maybe dialing into that, they figured, well, if we have children here, they'll see the importance of children, and
who is going to see the importance?
People that are that anti-abortion, the really hardcore people on that.
Yes, but I think there's a couple of groups of people that we're forgetting.
Listen to me, and you need to get something straight.
Tell me what I need to do.
I am not saying this was a good decision. I think it was a bad decision. Right. I'm just explaining to you the rationale of what.
Here's
why
the problem with that rationale. Well, we're talking about fetuses and their importance, whether you believe in that or not believe in that. That's irrelevant to what I'm about to say.
Yeah, I understand that.
There are people present. There are people that we do need to be concerned about. They're called the four-year-olds there. We need to worry about
them. It was absolutely stupid. I understand it. A lot of times these people do stupid things. It's like the people that burn abortion centers and so on and so forth. Kill, there's been murders out of abortion clinics and stuff
I'm
like
aware.
That. That's the radical people I'm talking about. Not that this was as radical, but the thought process is just as radical as that.
These kids were you. If I am a parent.
Oh, yes.
I am livid.
Oh, absolutely.
And I am livid at the person in charge of this field trip who thought that it was okay to say yes to this. Because if I signed the permission slip, I guarantee you I signed the permission slip. Oh, my little Jimmy's afraid of is allergic to peanuts, so we can't look at the peanut tree over there. And he can't have a peanut butter sandwich. And oh, by the way, he's not to be used as a political prop. He's going there to look at the gum tree. He wants to look at the daffodils. You cannot make him part of a political presentation. And then they post the pictures all over the place of these little children.
Yeah.
I would be so furious. There could be a lawsuit. There could be a lawsuit against the school or the preschool that allowed this and against the Carly Fiorina campaign. In my opinion, this is so egregious.
It's unbelievable. If these were my kids, I would be losing my marbles because without giving anybody any idea that you're going to post this, you're going to take the kids, you're basically kidnapping them out of their school field trip, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to use you as props for my political propaganda. Maybe, who knows? Maybe some of these people's parents are very pro-abortion,
I think they would still have an issue with that.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they agree with the message, the method was inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying not pro-life.
No, I'm saying even if they agree with
they agreed with the message, it's like, you don't have the right to take my kid and use
it. I agree with you, Carly Fiorina, with what you're saying. Abortion should be illegal, this, that, the other. However, that's my kid.
Now, maybe once again, being the devil's advocate, maybe like somebody brought these kids in just at a spur of the moment. Maybe Fiorina's in the back room. They go, all right, Carly, come on outside and start the presentation. Next thing you know, she's outside going, oh, these kids. What? And maybe she...
She instructed them to sit in front of the picture of the fetus. She wasn't doing a gig at a bar, and they crawled on through, Joe. She coordinated. It's called stagecraft. That's what it's called. This was part of her stagecraft. Children, yay! These are late abortions. We can still abort them. But so far, so good, though. I'm making my point.
She probably says she told him to sit quietly. She pointed, sit quietly, or else.
Yeah. Look what happened to that one. Yeah. He didn't make it.
He spoke up.
You see, when he came through, you can go back.
Yeah.
Look at all these potential organs to harvest I've got
you
here.
You had to be a Gabby Gus.
Can you imagine you come home? Mommy, well, why did that lady say they're going to take my liver? What? Well, because Daddy has a drinking problem and it might be hereditary.
What kind of field trip was this?
Daddy might need your liver, precious.
Yeah, I know. We need you to keep cooking it a little bit longer.
Well, I do retract it that she knew that the children were there and she told them to sit quietly. That she it just shows a total lack of judgment.
Yes, yes.
And I don't what it's a very big what are you thinking moment.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So, all right. So we all agree, disqualified.
Absolutely.
And the fact that this hasn't been a big deal in the media, but again, she's irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, because I think she was probably going to pander to that vigilant you know, anti-abortion.
I'm sure there were 6-year-olds taking notes in the audience.
Yeah,
Jim.
I know. But look, I didn't. I'm just explaining it.
She's
I'm
a
not
maroon.
Saying it's a stroke of genius. Yes, she is.
All right. Goodbye. We have another one. The next contest. First, I must play some theme music. So, a little respect.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
This is a little unfortunate. Joe's man crush, Mr. Trump. I would argue a little lapse in judgment here. So the story goes: Donald retweets a white supremacist account. His tweet. So let me read the article. Oh, son of a bitch! We're gonna go long on this one and short on the next one because this is getting good. But thank you, Joe. I'll edit all this out. So don't worry, or I won't. Fuck it. Well, now I will.
Oh wow!
That won't make it. Anyway. So Trump retweeted a white supremacist website promoting Adolf Hitler. The tweet was a jab at rival Florida Governor Jeb Bush and showed him looking down and out holding a Vote Trump sign. The tweet originated from an account called @WhiteGenocideTM, which is promoting a pro-Hitler movie called The Greatest Story Never Told. The trailer for the film calls Hitler the savior of Europe. The website also includes an interview with Holocaust denier Ursula Haverbeck. One of the tweets from the account is an animated picture of Donald Trump dressed as a Nazi about to gas a potential Democratic rival, Senator Bernie Sanders. Sanders is Jewish. The Twitter account has anti-Semitic and anti-Muslim rhetoric and lists its location as, wait for it, Jumerica. Its pinned or featured tweet shows a man saying he is Jewish with a yellow Star of David with the word Jude added on, which is from Nazi Germany. It's not the first time Trump's been associated with the fascist leader of Germany, who was responsible for genocide against millions of Jews. All right, and last month, a Trump fan page attributed a quote to Hitler, a quote by Hitler to Trump. And the quote was, as a Christian, I have no duty to allow myself to be cheated, but I have a duty to be a fighter for truth and justice on the image of Trump. It was part of a 1922 speech that Hitler gave. Hitler's Trump's ex-wife Ivana said that Trump used to have a stack of Hitler's speeches next to his bed. We know he's been endorsed by a neo-Nazi group. We know white supremacists in Iowa were making robocalls for him. Trump has not addressed any of these. So, was this an oversight by Trump, or was this a retweet vetted and put forth to fire up a proportion of the supporters?
It was an oversight.
You think so? But he's on top of everything, Joe. He hires the best people, the delegates, and this isn't the first time.
And every candidate makes, on every aisle, every candidate.
Well, Joe, it does say white genocide, and it has, and if you look at the account, as we said, it does have Bernie Sanders in a gas chamber and Trump about to put the switch. I don't think it's an oversight. I don't. There's just
subtle.
Been I wonder what they meant. It wasn't like it was at Snow White.
Let's parse that for meaning.
Yeah, this isn't an oversight. This is a trend.
How ridiculous are you? Would you cut it out? It was a stupid oversight. It was a mistake. You have a bunch of people that work for these folks that put all this stuff out. Sometimes
Trump says he does his own tweets, except when there's a mistake like this. And then we're supposed to believe he hires the best of the best. That's what we're waiting for. Trump America, baby. He hires the best of the best. Trump's strength is his Twitter handle. Right? Late at night, when things are hitting the fan, you want Trump on that Twitter handle. Mm. And we have Trump on that Twitter handle.
Right. And believe me, every other candidate is doing the same stupid stuff.
No.
Yes. But the thing about Trump is,
give me an example.
He's a lightning rod for the.
Give me an example more of neo-Nazi.
In front of me, I would find it. I'm telling you right now.
No.
It's not a neo-Nazi thing, but it's another thing. You always you banter, but you hold these other people at this high nobility. They're all the same.
I want him at one point to come out and say, hey, I don't stand by this. This was a mistake. I don't want it. He doesn't even address it.
Maybe because he doesn't have time for nonsense.
Oh, Trump has plenty of time for nonsense. Just this morning, he decided to call Ted Cruz a liar. He's got plenty of time for nonsense. This is less nonsense than what he thinks of Ted Cruz being a liar. And he said Ted Cruz stands there like a jerk. Trust me, Trump has time.
I don't know. If you had something like, you see the Twitter handle, white genocide, that would jump out at you. I mean, no matter who is doing this, you don't just, even if you don't have take the time to go and see what's there, that word alone, you're not going to retweet this. You don't want to be necessarily involved with something like that. Because, and I would think that you'd be backpedaling as fast as humanly possible.
Here's the mind-blowing thing. His daughter, Ivanka, we all know Ivanka.
Yes.
Married to an Orthodox Jew. Mm-hmm. They're raising their children, his grandchildren, as Orthodox Jews. Just as a grandfather, you would want to distance yourself from this Jew-hating thing to say, hey, I'm a family man. Right. At the very least, I'm sticking up for my family here.
Well, look at it as a businessman. He's supposed to be protecting his brand. Why is he letting his brand be tarnished?
Because
white supremacists.
This is part of his base. He knows what he's not a dumb man.
No,
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, but that's scary.
And that's the problem I have, because he's not showing the character to distance himself to say, you know what, I'm willing to lose this portion of my supporters by going, hey. You know, I have disagreements. I have my opinions on Muslims, this, that, the other thing. This is a little much. You know, putting me in a Nazi uniform, you know, pulling the lever on Bernie Sanders and all that. I'm not seeing the fortitude of character.
No, nor am I.
But Joe apparently does.
Because all of them are going to be coming against it. It's just some other nonsensical thing.
This is not the normal thing. This is not the normal political flow.
But because that's right. And people have had it with all these all the foolery and fakery of the politicians for whatever.
What does this have to do with that?
But what it has to do with is Trump is just is shaking things up. Okay,
that has nothing to do with that. I'm not talking about what he said.
But let him finish his thought.
Yeah, well, we don't have time for the whole thought.
Oh. Trump. Yeah, no, of course. Trump is shaking things up. Okay, this is just something that he was going after Bush about, that everybody, you know, just dialed in, and for the fact that Trump isn't bowing down and knows that it's nonsense.
It's not bowing down. Why not just say, hey, I like the tweet. We should have done a little bit more research. You know, looking back, we shouldn't have retweeted.
Maybe he's more concerned about the economy. Maybe he's concerned about more getting more business in the United States. Maybe he's more concerned about
getting anything.
Negotiation.
He's just campaigning.
Yeah, and so are they all. So are they
you
all.
You can't say they're all doing the same thing when we see a pattern of neo-Nazi and racist things happening. This is part of his campaign. You either have to embrace it or renounce it. I mean, that's the option, because it's happening. It's a pattern. It's not just one thing.
Okay, but I'm telling you right now, believe me, once it gets to a certain point, he will address it.
It's happened 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, well, no, he will address it because it's such a nonsensical thing that he's not going to pander to.
I don't think white supremacy is nonsense.
You're making such a big deal out of it. It's a stupid tweet that he didn't mean. It was based on Bush. You're just trying to find anything that I've never heard you say anything about anybody else.
You don't listen.
I do. You don't say it about anybody else.
Give me an example. I say terrible things about all of them.
Trump is the one that you harp on the most because you don't like Trump, because he tells it like it is, because you're on this big, noble soapbox, this big, noble soapbox that has been destroying this country for
the past eight years,
and it's done. It's over.
There will be a change. I will lay it down. Let me finish. I am noble. I am anti-white supremacist. I am anti-Nazi. I am a noble. I am the white knight. If that is being, if common decency is now the white knight and being against Nazis, then guilty. I'm sorry.
Being against Nazis. Yeah.
All right. We'll come back. You're listening to Davins and filling in for Coffee Talk. We're back. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Well, that was certainly spirited, was it not?
That's a way to say it.
It was certainly. So now we got to do a Witches Be Crazy. Let me find the theme song.
Okay.
Real quick here for you, Pip. It's a long theme song. We're not going to play all of it, but we'll play some of it.
Witches be crazy.
All right, Pip, tell us about this crazy witch you speak of.
Okay, well, I worked with a whole bunch of crazy people in my day.
Leave Joe and I out of it.
No, and Wanda was probably, she takes the cake. This is a woman who, when we worked this one place, there was a night crew of guys. She actually would show up at work at night after getting a load on, and she would, like, hike up her skirt, and she would stand there, use the door jam sort of as her own like hooker pole and leave her nasty scent on it and try to get
cat?
Yeah, pretty much in heat. And she would try to talk them into taking her out sometime, or you know, she had a bottle out in the car. Did anyone want you know, a little drink? And she was really crazy. She would like sexually harass the other workers. There was one time that she asked if they wanted to come out and go to this like guys dancing night and meet us after the show. And I had no idea that she had done this and that the guys didn't want to come. Very embarrassing.
Sounds like a crazy witch.
Yes, very.
We will leave it at that. You're listening to Davidson filling in for Coffee Talk. When we come back, an unfortunate cartoon. We're back. You are listening to Davin's Den. Fill it in for Coffee Talk. Let's do a little Drunks in the News. Got to try to find the old theme song here. Where is it? There it is. All right. Drunks in the News.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
As always with this, we like to start with our Benjamin Franklin drinking term. He had over 200 drinks. I didn't want that to play. We had over 200. Hush music. We had over 200 of
Hush music.
So this week's Benjamin Franklin drinking term is cocked.
Excuse me?
Get your mind out of the gutter. Not the way you think it. If you've been drinking, you've been cocked. Not the way you prefer it.
I was thinking rooster. What are you talking about?
I know you're a big fan of Farm Fresh.
Yes.
Cocked. C-O-C-K apostrophe D. If you've had too much to drink, you've been cocked.
Of course.
Or you're feeling cocked.
Mm-hmm.
And
we all
know too much is no good, or you wind up being cocked.
I say.
Well, you might.
I have.
Although, if you keep on drinking, you'll be too blind and you'll be cocked.
Okay.
So now you know.
Well, you know what? That is an interesting term. I tend to use that a lot. I'll use that later
He is a founding father. A little respect.
Okay. He got around, that guy. He had a lot of those terms. I think he knew his subject a little too well.
He's a man among men. All right. So here's this week's Drunk in the News. Roger Bumpus. I'm reading it like that. I figured after cocked, you know, I'll err on the safe side.
Bumpus.
Bumpus, you approve? We all going with Roger Bumpus?
Yes, I like it.
All right, Roger Bumpus. The actor who plays Squidward Tentacles on SpongeBob SquarePants was arrested for DUI. Law enforcement sources tell us cops noticed a blue PT Cruiser, manly, stopped in the middle of a road just before 11 p.m. with a man leaning against a car. When cops walked up to the guy, Bumpus, they say he walked away and was so unsteady he nearly fell. Sources say Bumpus, I like saying that, confessed to driving just before the cops spotted him. Apparently, Bumpus was cocked. Anyway, he was arrested. Talking about drinking. And he was arrested after failing a field sobriety test. Sources to say Bumpus, who was cocked, had a blood alcohol level was more than twice the legal limit.
Oh, boy.
Are you guys familiar with Squidward?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, we scooped TMZ here.
Wow.
We have the showdown between the police and Squidward Tentacles.
No way.
Yeah, we have the audio of that test. Would you guys like to hear that?
Sure.
Please share.
All right. Here we go.
Anything to drink tonight, sir?
Well, officer, as a matter of fact, I did have a few schooners after my clarinet recital this evening, but that was hours ago. I even capsized one of them.
What did you do then, sir?
Well, what could I do? I wiped off the bar and poured another one.
Very amusing, sir. Will you please step out of the car?
Hey, wait a minute. I am the most artistically talented person in Bikini Bottom. I don't deserve this harassment.
Please step out of the car, sir.
Ah, jellyfish. All right.
Sir, will you please stand on one tentacle and start counting?
What is this, Sesame Street? And I've got six tentacles. Which one would you like me to stand on there, Sergeant Friday?
Sir, please pick a tentacle and cooperate. Wouldn't want to make this harder on yourself. If you think that weekend that you spent at band camp made your ink spot sore, wait till you spend a few nights in the Stony Lonesome.
All right. One, two, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, up.
Oh, can you please stand up, sir?
I don't think I can.
Please stand up. Please watch your head. We're going to have to take a ride downtown.
Barnacles.
Oh, who's this coming up on the bicycle?
Oh, that's my neighbor, SpongeBob. He's the reason why I drink.
Hey, Squidward, I told you to ride home on my handlebars.
There you have it. Pretty harrowing. He was cocked. Squidward was cocked.
He didn't have a tentacle to stand on.
He really didn't. I feel bad for him. Now, Joe says that he actually found some audio of another cartoon.
Yes, I most certainly did.
Who was this?
It was Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh. All right, Joe.
Yeah, apparently Foghorn Leghorn and a friend were taking a ride, and they kind of got transcripts of that. Boy, looks like we're getting a traffic stop pulled over, that is. Now take the Jack Daniels and hide it under the seat. Father, son, father, it's sticking out like Donald Trump in a Mexican restaurant. Now start chewing gum, son. Start chewing gum, boy. You want your breath to smell a lot less whiskey-ish and a lot more mintish. Okay now, son, roll down your window. Okay, he's telling you, are you driving erratic? Weaving, that is. Well, don't just sit there, boy. Tell him you want a breathalyzer. Okay, boy, now blow. I say, boy. Boy, but boy's breath is more hot than a presidential debate. Unfortunately, more alcohol in it than a Kentucky still. Okay, son, you still got a chance. Touch your nose, boy. You're missing, boy. You're aiming, but you're not connecting. Boy's gonna need an anatomy lesson or a good lawyer. Now walk the line, son. You're walking, but you're not staying. Boy's about as steady as a boat in a tidal wave. Now don't talk, son. You're babbling. Talking nonsense, that is. Boy's making less sense than Sarah Palin. Now where you going, son? I say, don't run. Comply, boy. Comply. Oh, no. Boy's getting beat like Tom Brady. Well, glad he keeps his feathers numbered for such an occasion. And well, that's what happened.
Well, that sounds pretty recent. Our cartoon characters are having issues.
Foghorn Leghorn. The cock got cocked.
The cock got cocked. You're listening to Davins and filling in for Coffee Talk. When we come back, Joe and the Blizzard. We're back. You're listening to Davins Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. We had a big storm here in the Northeast. We all had trials and tribulations, but Joe feels his were a little bit more trialing and tribulating more than others.
Well, I noticed up here you got a lot less snow.
It melted, Joe. Yeah.
No,
been warm.
No, the snow I've got won't melt till about July.
It'll melt.
Yeah.
It'll melt.
Yeah, we got plastered on Long Island. It was so much snow. And it gets to the point now that as I get on years, I don't have the time or the patience to shovel snow.
And patience has always been one of your virtues.
Yes, and I'm too cheap to buy a snowblower.
I hear you.
So
the cardiac arrest is much cheaper with Obamacare.
Yeah, but there was a storm brewing at my house over the weekend. I'm cooped up with the soon to be ex-wife.
Oh God!
Driven up the wall, and as I'm
like the snow. Driven.
Yeah, and every hour. I am reminded there's more snow. You're going to have so much snow to shovel tomorrow.
She sees the snow falling, and it's like your own personal meteorologist, except not for like a preschooler.
Yeah.
There's more snow.
Look,
did you
more.
See all the snow? No. I put a picture of palm trees outside. I went,
that would be nice.
You're going to have a, and I love the way she rubs it in, you're going to have a lot of snow to shovel tomorrow. No kidding. No kidding.
But now at that point, this is where you go, no. I'm going to be doing half of what I normally do. No. I'll be shoveling out my side of the driveway.
I was so tempted to do. You're going to clean off my car, aren't you? Yeah, in August. You know,
with sandpaper. It's a shame you can't see out the windshield.
Yeah. And Coca-Cola.
So I get out. I get outside to start shoveling, and I'm like, and I start, and there's a lot of snow. As I'm going, my neighbor across the street, who's been there for as long as I, and it's like 40 years. She's in her 80s. She calls me. She goes, can you help me push my car? My car is stuck.
Aww.
So I trudge through 2 feet of snow out of my driveway because I've just started, and I'm helping her.
Right.
Halfway through this, I go, all right, look, let me go back to my house, get a piece of plywood or something to shove under the wheels.
Yeah.
But first,
now, was your first inclination to shove the soon-to-be ex under the wheels?
When I open the door, I look in. I got a runny nose. I want to get some tissue. I go, can I get a piece of paper towel? And she goes, I'm running low.
What?
Right then and there.
That's great.
Right then and there, I wanted to grab her. and ball her up and throw her out in the snow and make a snowman.
See,
out
I
of
thought
her.
You were going to say I want to grab her in a warm embrace, but you went in a different direction.
No, I wanted to grab her and put her in a cold embrace,
a rear naked choke.
I was so livid.
That's a little obnoxious by her.
Yeah,
but
a
you
lot
played
of
right. In, you played right into it though by doing this for her. You shouldn't have. You shouldn't
I just
have.
Wanted a yeah. piece of... I had a runny nose. I just wanted a dry...
Not even a tissue. Not a Puffs.
No, not a Puffs. Just a piece of paper towel.
I literally would have grabbed her shirt and rubbed my nose on it at that point.
Oh, yeah. Right in between the cleaves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right in the cleavage. Yeah.
So I helped my neighbor
There's
get...
a picture.
I helped my neighbor get a car done. Okay? Now I have to get back to my driveway.
Yeah.
Which is going to be hours.
Hours.
Hours. Now, at this point, I'm like... I wish I had a snowplow guy. Maybe I'd throw a snowplow guy some money and stuff like that.
Sure.
You know? So I go inside though. I want to get one. I just want to take a break and go into my office. And I'm in my office at my house. And there's a knock at the door. And I'm like, who's that? And it's my wife telling the guy, no, we're not interested. There was a guy to shovel. Oh, not interested. No, my husband's halfway done. Halfway done is 3 hours. So I try to find the guy. I go outside. I go, what are you doing? Oh, well, you said you were going to do it yourself. You didn't see what's going on out there.
This is a guy with, like, a plow on his truck?
Yeah. And I look, and he's gone.
Oh.
Gone.
Well, because he has a truck.
Gone.
See, I have the opposite. My wife, because I'm one of these, like, we'll get to it when it's done snowing. Because I see no reason to start.
Do it twice.
Because as Joe soon to be X pointed out, there's more snow.
So it keeps coming.
I tend to wait. But she's not that type. I turn around. She's out shoveling. Now, I feel guilty.
Right.
Because now I look like the jerk of the neighborhood. The wife is out there shoveling. And I'm sitting inside having cocoa. I can't have that. Now, just for freaking appearances, I got to go out there. And I don't want to go,
Oh, when my mom was alive, she used to do that. I go in the house. I want to shovel. What if you drop that? It'll look like crap. Go in the house.
That's very inconsiderate when they shovel our properties.
Yeah.
Stop making me look bad by going out there and working.
All right. Well, that was Joe and the Blizzard. You are listening to Davin's Den filling in for Coffee Talk. When we come back, cybersecurity question. Last segment of the show, Davin's Den, you know it, filling in for you know who, Coffee Talk. So, Miss Helix, we get questions from fans about cybersecurity and scamming. What do you have in the old email this week?
Well, this time we're hearing from Mark from Delaware, and Mark asked a simple question with a
There
less...
are no simple questions.
I know, it has a less than simple answer.
Only simple radio show hosts.
Yes, we have them. He said, I get so much spam email from people I don't know. Should I click on the unsubscribe link at the bottom? Is that safe? Well, here's the thing. If you're getting emails from a company that you've done business with before, like, I don't know, Target or somebody.
Like I get, like, because I've bought concert tickets from, like, Live Nation and Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they'll ask you, do you want to subscribe? Even if you say, no, I don't want to subscribe, they keep on sending you stuff.
There's still stuff. Yeah, yeah.
But I know it's a business I've had transactions with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know this is legit as opposed to really large things. Really would you like to enlarge your bumpus?
Yeah.
And
I don't
recall requiring to enlarge my bumpus, but yet I'm getting all these newsletters about new ways to enlarge my bumpus.
A lot of people seem to think I'm fascinated with Rolexes. I
you
don't
get a
know
lot of Rolexes?
Rolexes and Russian women. I get tons of them.
What are you, a pimp?
Sometimes together.
I could see you as being obsessed with Russian women. I could see that.
Yeah. and he emphasizes the womanly nature portion with his hands.
I'm Jewish. I speak with my hands.
Yeah, I know. Yes, you did.
Only when I'm talking about your bumpus.
Thank you. But the thing is that, yeah, if it's a well-known company, somebody that, you know, you already dealt with.
Well, not even just well-known, somebody you've dealt with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they send these fake emails from Bank of America, and it's not Bank of America.
Right.
It has to be somebody who you've done business with with that email account.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you did business with them on Yahoo and you're getting stuff from Gmail, this is phony.
Right, right.
It's got to come back to the account where you did your transactions.
Right. If you're getting something from one bank and you know you've never dealt with that bank, it's like, don't even go there.
Right.
Don't even try talk to them. But here's the thing is that, you know, if you unsubscribe from those emails, there will be a little lag time, but they will take you off their mailing list. Mm-hmm. You know, they're legitimate businesses. They want to make their customers happy. They think that they can lure you into coming back and buying their product or, you know, keeping you interested in checking out what they have. They don't want to annoy you, and they don't want to get in trouble with the
law.
They
want to annoy a little.
Yeah, they
want to annoy a little. If they didn't want to annoy, they wouldn't send stuff.
Well, but it's safe to click on the unsubscribe there, and eventually you'll be happy because it'll happen.
Now, it's a little different, Pip, if it's a company that you have not done business with, right?
Yes. See, there are the obvious things like the Russian women and the Rolexes. Don't even touch that email.
Don't you judge
email.
Me about who I do transactions with. How dare you?
Well, you know what? I know why you're getting all the ads asking if you want your appendages larger. I know why.
No, not my appendages, just my bumpus.
Bumpus, appendage. Whatever it is that they want enlarged for you. I know why you're getting
Don't
them.
Judge me.
The thing is, you don't want to click on the unsubscribe on an email like that. It's a trap.
Any business that you haven't had personal interactions with.
Right.
Any business.
Particularly those, you just want to get rid of those.
Particularly the ones that normally should wind up in the spam filter, but don't always.
Yeah, but you want to make sure that even ones that seem legit, but you haven't done business with them, no, don't click on unsubscribe.
Also, you might get an email from a friend. Mm-hmm. And that email looks kind of fishy, something that they usually wouldn't send you.
Right.
Which is a link to something.
Yeah.
As soon as you see that, if you know you know your friends and what they send you or what they want to, you could tell when it looks out of the ordinary. They'll get your friend's name and they'll send it to you.
But this is a little off topic.
But still, I saw one today. When you see that, just delete it.
I thought you wanted a large bumpus. I apologize.
But if you get one from a business that you don't know, you don't want to click on the unsubscribe, and here's why. There are a couple of things that can go really awry with that. First of all, if you click on that, now they were just phishing to see if there was somebody at that email address. They weren't sure.
Explain what phishing is real quick.
Okay. Well, phishing is when they're throwing out emails, and they come up with every conglomeration of letters and numbers that they can come with.
They want to see if somebody's out there.
Somebody's there. They're sending out a radar ping.
If you hit reply, if you hit delete, whatever it is, they get that.
Now they know you're there.
Yes.
They know that's a legitimate email address, and what they're going to do is they're probably going to sell that to somebody who's going to just slam you with spam now.
I don't want to be slammed in my bumpus.
No.
I could hurt. Cause a rash.
It might cause me to get cocked.
Don't judge.
I'm not judging. I'm saying my choice.
Oh, okay.
If you want to get slammed in your bumpus, that's fine.
Thank you, as long as we're clear.
We are.
And the other thing that could happen is that that link could not necessarily even just be a simple unsubscribe link. That could be leading you to another website, and
you never want to get redirected.
No, you don't want to get redirected, because then you could get all kinds of malware, viruses.
That's how they hack your Facebook account. It's a little bit different. Yeah. So basically, if you don't recognize it, there are options that you can do without deleting. You can direct the emails, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of email packages like Outlook and such that you can say mark as spam, and it will immediately go away. You never have to look at that again. Clear your spam boxes out every once in a while so it doesn't, like, you know, jam up in there.
Nobody likes a dirty spam box.
But and then once you're done with that, or just delete them, but don't click unsubscribe for those.
Okay.
Deleting is safe. Clicking unsubscribe, only somebody you know.
All right. Joe, you have gigs.
Yes. Wednesday through Saturday, I will be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Dial 1-877-UNCLE.VIN.
We want to thank Chris Dubail for the Squidward audio. You can learn more about Chris at laughwithchris.com, laughwithchris.com. He's also a comedian. Friday, February 5th, he's going to be at the Savannah Comedy Review in Savannah, Georgia. Saturday, March 12th, he's going to be doing the third annual Joy Dubail Relay for Life Comedy Classic at the Pump House Grill in Greenville, South Carolina. Again, you can learn more about Chris at laughwithchris.com. Thursday, February 4th, I'll be in Nanuet, New York at the Kitchen Table. For tickets, call 845-624-2060. I'm told it's sold out, but you could still call. whatever. Friday, February 5th, I'll be in Northumberland, Pennsylvania at the Front Street Station. For tickets, call 570-473-3626, 570-470-3626. Friday, February 5th, live comedy in Oak Ridge, New Jersey, starring Uncle Floyd. For tickets, 973-697-9704. Pip will be there hanging out. Saturday, February 6th, I'll be in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania at the Ramada. For tickets, 570-877-5565. 570-877-5565. Of course, always go to the davinsden.com site where you can learn more about the show and the Davin's Den Facebook page where we also put up stuff. Always check out the full show, uncensored. Always good things to do. Guys, this has been fun, as always. We'll see you soon. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.